the intro.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Today's episode of Coffee with Cashy is fun and interesting. We're doing something extremely different today. I came across an essay from a Renaissance-ish time philosopher, Lord Uncle Montaigne, and I just found myself bursting out laughing the entire time, and it is worth it to share with you, okay? Now, a tiny bit of background on Lord Uncle Montaigne. I'm just going to pull it from the wiki article here. Born in 1533, okay, one of the most significant philosophers of the French Renaissance, known for popularizing the essay. So, you ever heard the term essay? This is the dude that came up with that, okay? His work is noted for merging of casual anecdotes, telling goofy stories, and autobiographical stuff with intellectual insights. He's also, like, involved in local politics and things of that nature as well. And his massive volume of essays, okay, only about the size of a human head and twice as heavy, contains some of the most influential essays ever written. Thus is Dr. Cashy's interest in consuming and re-consuming them regularly, okay? Montaigne had a direct influence, Lord Uncle Montaigne had a direct influence on Western writers, including Francis Bacon, Descartes, Pascal, Voltaire, Rousseau, Hume, Gibbon, Wolfe, Hirschman, Emerson, Marx, Freud, Darwin, Nietzsche, Hoffer, Asimov, a little bit of Shakespeare too. So this guy's kind of a big deal. His opinions are highbrow and they are hilarious. And during his lifetime, he was admired more as a statesman than an author, according to the wiki article here. And some of the other stuff I read, you know, he was a statesman and a politician, so to speak, and involved in the local community for much longer than he was a philosophizing person. And the tendency of his essays to digress into anecdotes and personal ruminations was seen as detrimental to proper style. Just reading the back here. I myself am the subject of my book. It is not reasonable that you should employ your leisure on a topic so frivolous and so vain. Therefore, farewell. Thus is the start of his 1,500-page book. This is about me. It's a waste of your time to read it. Go away. So this guy's pretty great. In any case, he has an essay in here called How the Soul Discharges Its Emotions Against False Objects When Lacking Real Objects. People get excited and then do dumb stuff. Okay, so the translator here has a little paragraph describing the essay. He says that people burst into irrational bursts of choler, which are vented in wrath against inanimate or guiltless objects, which sweep over great generals, as much as they sweep over teenage girls distraught over boys, or their brothers, or gouty old men who stub their toes. Our minds are ever like that, prone to be irrational, as well as refractory to right ruling. As often in the essays, Montaigne, when he talks about the soul, he includes all aspects of human personality. That was just the part of the language back then. Corporeal and metaphysical, as it were, okay? So here we go. I'm going to do my best, like, French Renaissance man voice. Yeah, okay. A local gentleman of ours, who is marvelously subject to gout, would answer his doctors quite amusingly when asked to give up salted meats. He would say that he liked to have something to blame when he was tortured by his onslaughts of that illness. The more he yelled out curses against the sausage and the cow's tongue and the ham, the more relief he felt, the bigger the tantrums he threw. Seriously, though, when our arms are raised to strike, it pains us if the blow lands nowhere and merely beats the air. Similarly, if a prospect is to be made more pleasing, then it must not be dissipated and scattered over an airy void, but have some object at reasonable distance to sustain it. Just as wind, unless it comes up against a dense thicket of woods, loses its force and is thus distended into empty space. It seems that the soul, too, in the same way, loses itself in itself. People get frustrated about their frustrations and get into double trouble. It seems that the soul too in the same way loses itself in itself when shaken and disturbed, unless it is given something to grasp on. And so we must always provide it with the object to butt up against or to act upon. People gotta blame stuff. Plutarch, old school historian, Plutarch says the ones who dote over pet monkeys or little dogs or birds, that their faculty for loving, which is in all of us, rather than remaining useless, it forges a false and frivolous object for want of a legitimate one. People are more likely to cultivate feelings towards animals and things than they are likely to remain emotionally neutral. And then that also gets them into trouble because they create distorted relationships with things in the et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And we can see that our souls deceive themselves in their emotions by erecting some false fantastical object rather than let there be nothing to act upon. Wilson. Animals are likewise carried away by anger. They attack the stone or piece of iron which has wounded them, or else take vengeance on the pain they feel by biting themselves. Not otherwise does the bear in Pannonia, made even more savage by the blows struck by the Libyan hunter with his dart tied to a leather thong, which is like a string attached to the knife. She rolls around her wound and attacks the weapon buried in her flesh and chases it round in circles as it simultaneously flees from her, kind of like a dog chasing its tail. Biggest burn coming up. What causes do we not discover for the ills which befall us? People are skilled at making up reasons to feel bad and then use that bad feeling as permission to do dumb stuff. 500-year-old sage-like advice here. What will we not attack, rightly or wrongly, rather than go without something to skirmish against? People would rather do dumb things than do nothing. It is not those blonde maiden tresses, sadness. It is not those blonde maiden tresses which you are tearing, nor the whiteness of that bosom which you are beating so cruelly in your distress, which killed your brother, your lovely beloved brother, with an unlucky musket ball. You punish yourself for the death of a loved one. Why are you beating yourself up? The musket ball hit him in the chest, and you are punishing yourself. Okay. When the Roman army in Spain lost two great commanders who were brothers, Pliny says, flere omnes repenti et offensari capita. At once, they all started weeping and beating their heads when their commanders died, a common practice. And was it not amusing to Bion, the king's philosopher, to ask that king who was tearing out his hair in grief, does he think that alopecia gives him relief from sorrow? And who has not seen a man sink his teeth into playing cards, or swallow the lot, or else stuff a set of dice down his throat so as to have something to avenge himself for the loss of his money he gambled away? Xerxes, the god King Xerxes, flogged the waters of Hellespont, and he put the water in shackles and heaped insult upon them. He tried to cross a river and built a bridge, and that river was like, psh, no. And then he got cranky and decided to whip the water and punish it, okay? And he wrote out a challenge defying Mount Athos. Cyrus kept an entire army occupied for several days in taking revenge on the river Gindus for the fright it gave him when he was crossing it. And Caligula demolished a very beautiful house on account of the pleasure his mother had taken in it. He blew it up just because his mama liked it. In my younger days, the country folk used to tell me how one of our neighbor's kings, who had received a good cudgeling from a god, swore to get his revenge on that god, that by ordering his kingdom for 10 years, that nobody should ever pray to that god or mention that god, insofar as it lay his power, because if you pray to that god, the more you pray to that god, the more power that god gets, remember? By this he meant to portray not so much the folly of that god, but the inborn arrogance of the nation about which the story was told. Those vices always go together, but in truth, such actions are more beholden to overweening pride than to stupidity. Smart people keep their brains and lose their minds. People do dumb things even though they know they are dumb. And it only looks dumb after you do it. When Caesar Augustus had been battered by a storm, he began to defy Neptune, the god of the sea. To get his revenge during the ceremonies at the games in the Roman circus, he removed Neptune's statue from its place among the other godly statues. In that, he was less excusable than the generals mentioned above, flogging the waters and getting angry at mountains, and less than himself was later on when, having lost in Germany a battle under Quintilius Varus, he kept beating his head against the wall in anger and despair, crying, "Varus, give me back my soldiers!" Those other cases surpass all folly since they add blasphemy to it. That means you just putting good money after bad. Something silly happens and you do something silly on top of it and make it worse. Okay? Or even to fortune, as though she had ears subject to our assaults. So even if you just stick to yelling out loud to the frustration gods, are the frustration gods going to hear you? No. Those other cases surpass all folly since they add blasphemy to it when they address themselves thus to a god. Or even to fortune, luck, as though she had ears subject to our assaults, getting mad at bad luck. Okay. Following the example of the Thracians who revenged themselves like a titan during thunder and lightning by shooting darts into the sky, seeking to bring God to his senses by a shower of arrows. Shooting the clouds with their arrows to punish the god of weather. Yeah. Yet, as that old poet says in Plutarch, there is no point in getting angry against events. They are indifferent to our wrath. But we shall never utter enough abuse against the unruliness of our minds. People are really good at taking a bad situation and making it worse. 500-year-old Lord Uncle, Uncle Lord Uncle Montaigne's accounting of dumbasses throughout history. Thank you so much for learning. Had so much fun. Stay rational. Until next time, Dr. Cashy is out. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out.